right. It is good to see you here this evening on Wednesday night, and thank you so much once again for making the effort to be out at the midweek time. It's a privilege always to be able to share God's word. So if you'll join me this evening in the book of 1 Peter once again. Remember last week we started off in 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to have us turn this evening to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to find here another of Peter's instructions with respect to prayer. So if you find 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we will read down through verse 7 this evening. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman or wife as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So if you look over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, right at the end of the verse, for the sake of your prayers. And then you come to this verse tonight, the end of the text that we read, verse number 7, the end of that verse, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So we have another instruction of Peter with respect to prayer. And let's just have a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord's blessing, and we'll spend a few minutes looking at this tonight. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessings you've given us thus far this week. We thank you for health and strength, and we thank you, Lord, for putting it into our heart as well as making it possible for us to be out tonight, for giving us journey's mercies as we drove over, and now to have us where we are in a comfortable place and able to relax as we listen to God's word and then spend time in prayer with each other. Lord, we're so thankful tonight. We want to pause to say thank you that we have a church like this, that we have the Bible. All of these things are great blessings, and Lord, we just ask you to come alongside now because we can't do anything of any spiritual consequence or good apart from you, and grant both blessing to the speaker and listener tonight. For I pray these things in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen. Well, we do have another instruction in 1 Peter 3:7 with respect to prayer, and what I would like to call this tonight is the hindrance of spiritual insensitivity. I don't know how much you've studied the Bible in this respect, but of course, sort of as we're getting an example on Wednesday night with what Pastor Cameron's doing, the material that we have in the Bible with respect to prayer is voluminous. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. So one of the things you notice, though, as you're doing this and as you study God's word, you can find little subsets of that. In other words, you can have different series under the broader subject of prayer. And one of those, for instance, that you might do a series on, have 5-6 messages, maybe on the hindrances to prayer. So, for example, a lack of faith is a hindrance to prayer. And hiding, regarding sin in our heart is a hindrance to prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you get the idea. And so in this particular verse tonight, Peter calls something out that I want to label as spiritual insensitivity. So in other words, what's important is that the spouses in a marriage maintain sensitivity the one toward the other, because to be spiritually insensitive towards your spouse can lead to a hindrance in prayer. In other words, it can hinder the effectiveness of our prayers. That should be concerning to us, really. I mean, anything that would hinder the effectiveness of our prayer, anything that would keep God from wanting to listen into our prayers and hear our prayers, anything that would kind of create a barrier in that respect, that should be a concern to us. So spiritual insensitivity is what I want to talk to you about tonight. I think this is something that's very easy to slip into. And what I want to call into your attention tonight in this verse is three ways to avoid this. What steps can we take to make certain that we don't slip into this attitude towards our spouse of a spiritual insensitivity? And the first thing that I would like to mention to you tonight is patience. Now, I'm not going to say anything tonight very profound. In fact, what I'm going to say to you tonight is really extremely simple. I didn't say it's easy. And I can't help but make that comment on the very first of these points, patience. It's easy to say that word. It's easy to understand the concept. But to be patient is not always the easiest thing in the world. So before we get into talking a little bit about the phrase in the verse that talks about patience, let me just make a general observation. So we can note here that domestic tranquility and blessing, the burden of that does not fall exclusively to the wife. And I think that's a really important thing to say, because it seems like most of the time when we hear preaching about this, whether it's Ephesians 5 or it's 1 Peter 3, and you might even notice if you're a careful observer, that it's true the preponderance of the verses, both in Ephesians 5, if you're just looking at verse count, the preponderance of the verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and in 1 Peter 3, in this case, it's the first six verses, address the wife. But if you further analyze it, that particular fact right there doesn't really matter too much when you realize that basically it's just elaborating on and talking about one responsibility. And then if you go and look at Ephesians chapter 5 and you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, you find out same thing's true of the husband. It basically elaborates one responsibility. And so we can't really point to the preponderance of the verses or anything else really to say that the burden of this should lie more squarely on the wife, if anything, since Ephesians 5 talks about, and the same thing is really brought out here in 1 Peter chapter 3, the fact that the husband has the responsibility for taking the leadership role, the main leadership role in the home, then if anything, a greater responsibility falls to the husband in what we're going to talk about tonight. And so the first thing that it takes of us is time. And I equate time with patience, because you only have so much time. And why is time so important? Well, look at the phrase in the verse that comes under consideration right at the beginning. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And some of you might recall the King James rendering of this, and other versions do this too. So the King James isn't alone in this. It renders it a little bit more literally, which is dwell with them or live with them according to knowledge. So right away, I think I can understand how men think, since I are one. And I suspect that what maybe a lot of you are thinking right now, especially those who are married, you're probably thinking, well, you know, I know my wife very well. Thank you. In fact, I know her better than anybody knows her. Thank you very much. But you know, there might be a lot of truth to that, but it's to overlook something that's really obvious. And that is that life is a continually changing experience, and our circumstances vary all the time. So let me ask you a question for a moment to the men. You know, you go to work during the day. Is every day the same? Or are they varied? And when you come home at the end of the day, especially if they've had different things that happen in them, you're always glad to have somebody that you can talk to about it and tell about it, right? So you have an illustration right there. I mean, our lives change. Our circumstances change. And so even though we may have lived with our wives many years and know them perhaps in ways that other people don't, doesn't mean that we necessarily know what's going on today or how they're feeling about what's going on today. And I can't think of any way you get there except to be patient and spend time. And it takes time and it takes patience to ask and to listen. And a lot of folks aren't real good at that, to find out how your spouse is feeling about what's going on right now in life, what's going on or what has gone on during the day, what's currently going on. So one of the things that's required right away is patience. Peter says, dwell with them according to knowledge. We can't do that if you don't take the time. And you know, with being in the ministry for years and years and years, I always used to point out to people, you know, and you there's something that's kind of analogous to this, I think. If you look at a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one of the things that it says there is to know those who are over you in the Lord and labor among you. And occasionally I would say to people, how many of you people really know your pastor? Oh, yeah, you know my name. You know where I live. You know, I couldn't really say too much about this because, you know, you're talking about yourself, so it's difficult. But really what I was trying to get them to think about was, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, we talk about the fact that the elder is supposed to be given to hospitality. And one of the things that my wife and I always found in ministry context was we could learn so much more about people doing that kind of thing, having people over, spending time with them, that type of thing, as opposed to just a glad hand at church or even a few minutes at church. You pick up a few things. You can always ask somebody, you know, how's it going? How'd your surgery go? Or whatever. You should already know that if you're the pastor. But anyway, you can always do that kind of thing at church. But you can find out so much more the other way. And I used to think to myself, well, how many people really take the trouble? Now, I won't talk about me. I'll talk about the pastor we do have. How many people really take the trouble to get to know people like that? And you're not going to get that just by saying hi on Sunday and, boy, that was a great message and out the door. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. So if you can understand how that's true, then I think you can understand how this point is true here tonight. For avoiding spiritual insensitivity, to understand what your spouse is thinking, how they're feeling, you just have to be willing to invest some time. And I'm not up here, standing up here tonight telling you I'm perfect at it. Far from it. But I can tell you what the Bible says. Second thing I want to point out is gentleness. It takes some gentleness. Now, look at the next phrase in the verse. And this is one that always engenders some interest because it says here, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. And of course, you know, in this day of women's rights and all those kinds of things, you can get yourself into a passel of trouble in a hurry if you're not careful how you handle this. Some people are a little bit sensitive about it. So one of the things that I think maybe I can say up front that would help in this respect, although it won't help some people who aren't Christians, but is that almost certainly Peter's reference here is physical in nature. And it really helps to understand that. Why do I say that? Well, because when you look at this terminology that he uses here, it says here, showing honor unto the woman or to the wife as the weaker vessel. All right, look at the word weaker. Both in English and in the original language, it's a comparative. In other words, it's not weak, it's weaker in a comparison between the two, okay? But what's really interesting is this particular adjective of which we have the comparative here is perhaps the most common standard word for sickness. Well, I suppose you can talk about sickness affecting, you know, other places in the body, but mostly that's what we mean when we talk about people being sick, right? It's a bodily affliction of one kind or another. So right away, it tells me this weaker concept he's talking about here is pointing towards the physical dimension of things. The other thing is the word vessel itself. And it's skuos in the original language, but it's you know, it's a different word than what is typically used. But when it's, for, you know, it's not just a word that means wife as such, but it's a word that refers to the body, and it's used that way elsewhere in the scriptures. Here's a couple of cross-references to think about. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? Or I think the NIV or whatever translates it, jars of clay. But it's referring to the body, right? Everybody understands that. That word skuos there, that word vessel, it is a reference to the body. Okay, you have another one that's a really clear one. In fact, the ESV even translates it body, even though it's the word vessel, in 1 Thessalonians 4:4, where he's talking about purity, he's talking about sexual immorality, and he's talking about the need for sanctification and holiness. And he says that each of you know how to control his own body, but it's the word vessel. And this is how ESV renders it, body, in holiness and honor. All right, so we don't have to worry about intellectual comparisons here, because that's not what he's talking about. And we don't have to worry about moral comparisons here, because that's not what he's talking about. In fact, I think it's probably true to say that some women are the moral and intellectual superiors of their husband. I thought maybe I'd get a few amens from the women, but I guess, I guess you can get in trouble either way on this, right? But no, I mean, that's obviously true. And, you know, you have some examples of this, I think, even in the Bible. I've often thought about in the Bible where you have Priscilla and Aquila. And in the vast majority of the references, always Priscilla mentioned first. I think there's something to that. Just by personality, she just seemed to be the more forward of the people. And I'm not using forward there in a negative way. But her husband was just more retiring, and you meet people like that. Doesn't mean either one is necessarily inferior than the other, but certainly we all know examples of situations where a wife is the moral or intellectual superior to the man in the situation, and certainly that comparison can be made more broadly than just the marriage. And so what Peter is talking about here is also an equivalent spiritual standing. So we don't have to worry about the moral, we don't have to worry about the intellectual, and we really don't have to worry about the spiritual, since he makes the point at the end of the verse and says, you're heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, God isn't a discriminator. The same eternal life that your husband enjoys, you as the wife enjoy. And you're on an equal spiritual plane. Now notice I didn't say spirituality, because it's certainly possible for a wife to be more spiritual than her husband. And it's certainly possible for a husband to be more spiritual than his wife. And Peter's not really commenting on the subject of spirituality here. He is commenting on spiritual equivalence. So, you know, when we get done ruling out all these other areas, moral, intellectual, spiritual, this type of thing, it only leaves us with the physical, and all the verbiage, all the language in the verse points to this. You know, this gets people's hackles up even in some circles today, and you got a big hoorah going on with this kind of stuff right now because of transgenderism and sports and all this kind of thing. But what Peter is simply saying is what we all really know in our hearts to be so, and it just means that as husbands, we need to be gentle. Gentleness is required, not gruffness. And that's hard sometimes, it really is. Or we could say respect. Now, there's one last thing I wanted to talk about, and that's humility. So if you put these things together, what will help us defray or ward off this problem of spiritual insensitivity? And it all kind of comes to a head now with this last point, because patience is needed, gentleness is needed, but above all, humility is needed, because what happens if you weren't patient? What happens if you weren't gentle and were a little gruff? Well, then you need the humility to inquire if there's a problem that you've created, and the willingness to apologize if that's appropriate. So he says here in the end of the verse, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So in other words, I have a sensitivity, and I'm not only concerned about my relationship with my wife, but I'm concerned about how that affects my relationship with the Lord. Because if I'm not right with her, there's no sense in me trying to parade around and be Mr. Spiritual and lead in prayer. And I think that's one of the great things about having devotions. It kind of forces you, you know, to You're either going to get on your knees and be a hypocrite or get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. And if you need to do this, then of course, all these things we're talking about, they cut both ways. It's not like the husband is, you know, but this is what he's saying to the husband. So we do need the humility to inquire and to apologize if we sense that there's friction or if we sense that there's some kind of a problem. Now, I just want to close this out by saying what I said in the beginning. All this sounds really simple. Patience, we know what that is. Gentleness, we know what that is. Humility, we know what that is. Boy, it's hard sometimes to do that, isn't it? Hard sometimes to do that. So I have a practical suggestion for you tonight. It's one that I use in my own life, and so it helps me. I don't know if it would help you. But if you find value in what we talked about tonight, you find value in this verse, just make yourself a 3x5 card and write the verse on the 3x5 card and memorize the verse. And then what you can do is you can incorporate into that, once you get that verse and you've learned it, then you can incorporate that verse into your prayers. And that's a great prayer request to ask the Lord to help you in that area. And you'd be surprised how the Word of God is powerful and works in our hearts and works in our lives. And so I would encourage you that to ask God to help us and to impress on our hearts the importance of being spiritually sensitive, not spiritually insensitive, so that when we're right with each other, we can be right with God. Our Father, we thank you for a few moments tonight to consider your Word. And I pray, Lord, you would just use the Bible, the Word of God. And what I've said tonight, Lord, if anything was good or helpful, I pray that you would just use that. And if not, then I pray that that would just be something that we can discard. And I ask you now to go with us in our time of prayer requests. In Jesus' name, amen.